I have to admit, preparing this sermon was more difficult than I'd expected. A lot of people would say that this question is way above my pay grade. It's what we like to say when, you know, I'm a little peon, and it should be other more knowledgeable, more important people answering this question. But yeah, we've bitten off a big one for tonight. What is the meaning of life? Brought a few slides here. I mean, you heard it anyway, but yeah. What is the meaning of life? And it's interesting because there are so many different answers to this question. If you may have noticed in the little slideshow that we showed earlier that there was one picture, a cartoon picture, of a man sitting on a cliff asking a kind of a guru sort of guy, what is the meaning of life? And the guru answers, did you try Googling it? Well, as a matter of fact, I did. I typed in this question. Excuse me, it sounds to me like my microphone is disproportionately loud. How is that for you guys? Is it? It's all right? Okay, then that's good with me. I Googled it, came up with 24.1 million hits. So we're going to be here for a while. No. Actually, I would imagine for a Google search, that's probably about an average number of responses. But since we don't want to be here all night, I thought maybe we could just break it down to a couple of basics. When we address this question, what is the meaning of life? First of all, what is meaning? Well, meaning is what makes us say, yeah, that makes sense. That's something worth investing in. That's something that's worth my while. So if something doesn't have any meaning for us, we're like, throw it away. Who cares? For example, if there were a piece of paper lying here on one of the tables and it had some writing on it in a language that I didn't understand, I might say, throw it away. But if it's language that you do understand, you may say, wait a minute, that's a beautiful poem. That's wonderful. There's so much meaning in it. Don't throw that away. So something may have meaning for me that doesn't have meaning for you or other way around. But meaning is where we say, that makes sense. And if something has meaning in our life, we're willing to invest time in it. We're willing to invest money. We're willing to invest everything we've got if it really has meaning. But if it doesn't have a meaning for us, what of it? Who cares? Then, of course, there's also the question of life. Angie did a great job of addressing this because she is a cell scientist. Would that be a... Well, life science is really broad. She deals with the little bitty things and knows the deep science of those things. And so, you know, is it life just because we find some biological function in it? Well, if you're talking about life sciences, then yeah, I think that's a fair way to define it. But when we talk about our lives, are we satisfied just because we're alive? I think as human beings, we want more. We want to go deeper. We want to have more meaning in there. Can you go ahead and throw on the next one? Yeah. We want to achieve something with our lives. We want to make a difference. We want to be able to shape our surroundings. We want to be able to affect people. That includes loving people. If you love somebody, that changes their life. If somebody loves you, that changes their life. Those things have incredible meaning, and they inspire us to keep moving forward in life. But when we then come back to the question of what is the meaning of life, well, the thing is, there are a lot of possible answers, but there is no consensus. There's no one answer that everybody agrees to. But here at Fuel, we're not frankly, we're not interested in talking about what everybody agrees on. We're not even interested in necessarily finding out what appeals to any particular person, and then we'll say that. Because we're interested in talking about the God that we have gotten to know, who has become very personal with us, and who has given us his word, the Bible, who came to earth. His son, Jesus, came to earth and lived among us. And he showed us a lot about the meaning of life. And we are convinced that this answer that he gives us is really worth talking about. It's really worth thinking about. Now, I'm not going to make up stories here. There are things about his answer for the meaning of life that a lot of people are going to say, what? No, that can't be right. I don't like that. Well, like I said, our purpose here is not to find out what people like and to say that. We're wanting to show you, introduce you to the God that we have come to love dearly and to whom we turn to find answers for our life, because his answers go a lot farther than anything else out there. Now, looking at the Bible, there's actually a lot of different places we could look to address the question of the meaning of life. And I decided to take a look at a text in the Old Testament from the book of Ecclesiastes. Quite a mouthful. Ecclesiastes means the preacher. And the book is attributed to the King Solomon. He lived about 2,900 plus years ago. And it was interesting, when we read through the book of Ecclesiastes, we find that this guy, he had all the resources you could hope for at his disposal. I mean, he was a king, so he had a lot of power. He had a lot of authority. He had a lot of servants. He could tell people what to do, and basically they had to do it. And he was really rich. And he says in this book, I want to find out what life is all about. And so he tries everything. And it's really a wild story. I mean, it's written in kind of a poetic form. So, you know, it's not a narrative story that he just says, and then I tried this, and then I tried that. It's kind of poetic. And a lot of people don't like the book of Ecclesiastes because he gets pretty pessimistic. We'll get to that in a minute. But he tries out absolutely everything. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I will test you with pleasure, enjoy yourself. And boy, he did. He tried wine, women, song, food, education, justice, you know, social justice, just everything. He tried it all out. But he kept running into one problem. One problem that he just couldn't get over in his musings. Death. Yeah. He said, I could educate myself so that I was the wisest man in all of the world. And yet I realized the guy who has no education, who's basically an idiot, and I, we're going to have the same fate. We're both going to die. And we're in the same category then. And he keeps coming back to this. This also was vanity. Vanity, something that looks good on the outside, but doesn't hold up on the inside. Maybe you've had the feeling sometime that your life was vain. You were frustrated. Things weren't going the way you wanted them to. You were irritated. Maybe you were mad at God. A lot of people get mad at God. And to be honest about it, I think God can handle that. I don't think he gets mad at us when we get mad at him. But he wants us to keep coming back to him and to realize that even if we don't understand him, he is the one with the answers that we need. Death was a constant problem that he ran into. And on this next slide, I've got the last two verses of the book. There he says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Now, I have to admit that in this context, it's a bit difficult to end with the last couple verses of Ecclesiastes, because this doesn't sound very upbeat, does it? Yeah, I'm here to get you all depressed and then send you home, right? No. Thing is, what he says here, when everything has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It's one place where a lot of people would say, oh, that can't be. That can't be right. What we're trying to tell you here this evening, though, is not just do what God says so you don't go to hell. Because if you go to the New Testament, we find very clearly God sent his Son so that we would be able to get to know him personally, that he's got a lot more in store for us. And yes, death is something that each one of us is aware that it can and probably will happen to us. But he gives us a promise that goes beyond our death. See, now you want something that lasts. You want something that gives you meaning. You want something that gives you life. How about a hope that will survive your own death? And that is exactly what we find in Jesus Christ. So the meaning of life is not just that we get through somehow. The meaning of life is not that we just obey a bunch of rules to keep God from throwing thunderbolts at us. The meaning of life is living in a relationship with our Creator who loves us more than we can imagine, our Creator who wants us to come to him when we're happy or when we're disappointed. Our Creator, who's big enough to handle it when we say, God, I don't understand you. I don't like what's going on. This Creator, yes, this Savior, wants to invite each of us to come to him. And yes, I guarantee you, I'm sure that it's been the case already in your life, it will be the case again, that things happen that you don't like. And where you ask, why does this have to be happening? But just like a three-year-old child is absolutely insistent that a piece of candy is what that child needs right now, but the mother says, no, this is not the time for candy. You need to eat your vegetables first. And the three-year-old stomps and screams and cries, I don't like it. Well, which one of the two knows more about nutrition? And a lot of times we'll stomp and scream and cry and say, I don't like it. But your Father in heaven, your Creator, he sees more than you do. He sees more than I do. He knows more. And we can trust him. And he will give us a life filled with meaning and purpose. A meaning and purpose that cannot be taken from you, even when you die.